Remember back in episode 287, The Foul and the Furious? 287 episodes, and we've passed that. It's a lot of episodes. Anyways, back then, in the old days, we were talking about a gentleman. He was a taxi driver, and he saw some pigeons on the road, and he decided the optimal thing to do would be to speed up and hit some of the pigeons. He hit one. He was arrested. The charges were dropped, and prosecution gave no reason for dropping the charges. Probably because it was a pigeon. I mean, if we're going to be really honest, that's probably the reason. They're probably like, how much money are we going to spend on lawyers and stuff to prosecute this guy for a fine? It's just, there's no pigeon justice anymore. I played Had a Full Boyfriend and really found a deep connection to pigeons after that. And now I see things like this, and it disgusts me the way pigeons are treated in the world. The way the world just doesn't care about pigeons like they used. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't even know why I did this update. The charges were dropped. I guess that the charges were dropped. That's kind of enough. But then I feel like I have to say something about it. I honestly think in this case, if you're going to go through the trouble of arresting the guy for killing the pigeon, you should prosecute. But then the prosecutors probably, they're not the police. They're like, we didn't arrest him. He killed a pigeon. All I know is everyone in Had a Full Boyfriend is really upset right now. So an All Nippon Airways airplane headed for the United States had to make a U-turn and head back to Haneda Airport after a 50-year-old man bit a flight attendant. I don't think I can even do commentary anymore. What am I supposed to say? Don't bite people? Don't hit pigeons with your car. So you can see the weird spot I'm in. I mean, that story, if I don't do commentary, is incredibly short. Incredibly short's fine. Just don't bite anybody. Don't bite flight attendants, yes. This kind of goes into the next story in that you know you're going to get in trouble, I think. So in this case, I mean, it's a pretty well-documented thing. If you assault or attack or are particularly difficult with flight crew on an airplane, they'll either turn around and land the airplane and you get arrested, or they'll fly all the way to the destination and you'll get arrested. Like, there's an arrest waiting at either end of that journey. And it doesn't take much. Biting is, you're done. Like, it's a lot less than biting that gets you arrested and kicked off flights. And now you're on a no-fly list? I don't know. It's the level, like, what? He had to be drunk, right? Like, almost at this point, I'm like, please be drunk. So at least you have some sort of chemically induced excuse for your behavior. Although I don't believe being drunk is actually an excuse for bad behavior. Because I've been drunk, very, very drunk, many, many times, and I have not crossed those lines. I've still been an inherently okay person. I'm not going to say, like, super moral or anything, but I didn't commit crimes. So, yeah, even then, I was drunk, I don't think that should be accepted as an excuse. At least it makes more sense at that point. How about that? Two guys were arrested for food terrorism. So this is my point. We had the sushi terrorism. We had a couple other instances in different restaurants. But it's like you saw the guy do the thing for clout on the internet. So I'm going to do something disgusting. I'm going to lick the soy sauce thing. I'm going to eat the ginger and spit it back in. I'm going to use chopsticks and stuff. Like, I'm going to take anything communal and dirty it up myself. And then, but did you not see the fallout where there was, like, the lawsuit for the kid who did it and the company went after him for, like, billions of yen? Did you not see the people getting arrested? Like, the cops just arrest you for this now. So it's like they see the clout part and they forget about the fallout part, the consequence part. Or do they think, I'm not going to get caught? But that doesn't work because you did film it and then post it on the internet. So filming your crimes, again, I'm trying to not give advice to criminals, but I keep doing it. I think it's because what I want to do is like criminal minds. I want to delve into the mind of the criminal. What were they thinking? And then what would I do different to get away with the crime? I wouldn't film it. I mean, you can talk about any crime you want. And my first instinct is do not film the crime. And that's going to help you go real far in denying that you committed the crime. Because you can't deny you admitted the crime if, let's say, your face is on a screen doing the thing. Maybe you could, in the future, you could say it was deep faked, but why would I deep fake you eating garlic out of it? This is a ramen restaurant. They have minced garlic that you can put in your ramen. This guy scoops some out, puts it in his mouth, goes, oh, this is disgusting, and spits it back in to the jar. Now, luckily, the staff maybe saw them do it or saw something gross happening. So they grabbed it, threw that stuff away, and disinfected the container that it was in. But both of them were arrested. So you got to know, if you're going to start doing this gross stuff for internet points, you're going to get arrested. Walking your dog. I have a dog. Told many stories about him in the past. I have another one coming up on C. McBee. So if you listen to that podcast, you'll get a great Dave story. Dave is my dog. Walking your dog along a river, dog takes a little poopy. Okay, that's what happens. Dog's poopy. You want to be a responsible owner, so you pick it up. Now, it is annoying. I do pick up my dog's poop. I am a responsible dog owner. I also don't film myself not picking it up. See, there you go. There's the don't film it. If you're going to commit the crime of not picking up your dog poop, which is a violation, don't film your dog pooping and then walk away from the poop, filming the poop going, ha ha ha, I didn't pick it up, and post that on the internet. Let's say I did that this morning, which I did not do. See, I can deny it because there's no video evidence of me doing the thing I'm denying. So if you're the police, there's no proof one way or the other. Although they do, in England, they started doing DNA tests on poop they found, which I was like, how much does a DNA test cost? Anyway. It is annoying to carry it around. So I don't like carrying around the little baggie. It's wintertime, so I have to carry it, and my hand gets cold, and so I'm switching hands back and forth so I can put one in my pocket and the other one's cold. I don't want to put the dog poop in my pocket. I think that's a pretty fair statement. I don't want to put the dog poop in my pocket. So it is annoying to carry it with you. So this guy, he's like, you know what? I don't want to carry it with me. So he takes the bag. I don't know if he does a little bolo gesture. My first thought is just swinging around his head. But he starts hucking bag and all, little plastic bag and all, into other people's yards. And then since last September, there have been 20 complaints. So this is like all over the neighborhood. He's just like flicking dog poop everywhere he goes. An officer was on patrol, and he witnessed the man throwing the dog poop into someone's property. He was arrested for a waste management violation. Not picking up your dog poop is a very minor violation. You probably just get a talking to. You might not even get a fine for that. Maybe like, please be a responsible citizen. Pick up your dog poop. You've been talked to by the police. You'd be like, whew, yeah, okay, I should do that. But throwing it into someone else's yard is waste management violation, which is a much more serious penalty. So he's actually getting in more trouble because instead of... The thing is, if he was already carrying it, it is just as much effort to carry it home as it is to huck it into someone else's yard. It's like that guy, didn't look it up, didn't think I was going to talk about this. The guy who was peeing into bottles because it was too much trouble to get up and go to the toilet, and then he had to carry the big bottles of pee and dump them somewhere. Like, in his mind, the secondary effort was less than the first one, but I was just like, I don't think it is. I think getting up and going to the toilet and just flushing the toilet and going back to bed, yeah, annoying, but way less effort than carrying around 5, 6, 7 bottles of pee that you then have to dump somewhere and get arrested for. So they're getting arrested for, the consequence is not worth it. So criminals, I am going to give some advice to criminals, but not in the normal way of how to be successful as a criminal. What I would like to say to criminals today is, guys, because you're mostly guys, take a minute. So if you see someone do something that you think is cool on the internet, haha, that guy did a really gross thing on the internet, haha, let's do that because it'll be cool on the internet. Just take a moment, pause, think, hey, was there any fallout from that? Maybe I should go see if he was sued for like a billion yen. Oh, he was? Maybe I shouldn't do it then. Oh, maybe if we film ourselves doing some food terrorism. Was there any fallout from that, from those other guys doing it? Oh, they all got arrested. All of them. Maybe we shouldn't do that then. The poop guy probably doesn't have an example that he could have referred to. But I'm looking at effort, reward kind of things. So throwing it into other people's yard is maybe less effort, but the consequence therein is much more. So it's worth it to bring it home and throw it and dispose of it properly than it is to throw it in someone else's yard and end up having to just deal with the police. And also, please don't hit pigeons with your car. A man was robbed of 25 million yen at a private karaoke box by four teens. That sentence alone makes me want to ask a ton of questions. I don't want to victim blame, but it seems real suspicious that this guy had 25 million yen in cash with him. Four teens came into the karaoke box where the man was waiting for a supposed acquaintance who he was going to lend the 25 million yen to and sprayed him with tear gas. Did not explain where the tear gas came from. I think this might have just been something they bought online. One of the teens was arrested. He was 18 years old. Now, Japan still is very much a cash society, but it's also a society where bank transfers are very, very cheap. So if you're going to have 25 million yen, you're going to transfer to someone else. So to me, it makes it seem like he doesn't want anyone to know who he's transferring the 25 million yen to. And I actually wonder if the teens set this up so that he would be at a place with 25. Because how did they know he was going to be there with money? If you sprayed me with tear gas and took my wallet, I mean, maximum you're getting 20,000 yen, probably 180 bucks. Because that means I just went to the bank because I'm going out for that day and I'm going to do stuff where I don't think I can use my phone to pay. Because I use my phone to pay for pretty much anything. So how did they know? There's only one time in my life where I've had an excessive amount of cash. And that was when I was going to put a down payment on my house. And the down payment in cash, we got a slight discount. And a slight discount on a house is actually still a lot of money. So I had a stack of money. It was the only time in my life I ever had that much money. I was like, I should film a very quick rap video in our house, again, safe. And then we took it to the place right away and basically spent all the money right away. I knew I would never have that much money in my hands again, probably. I think it was less than 25 million yen. I forget the down payment. This is a long time ago, so I forget how much I put the down payment on my house was. I remember the stack was bigger than my head. And I also remember I put it in a paper bag so it wouldn't look like it was a ton of money. Now, part of me was also thinking like 30-some years of judo have led me to this moment where hopefully, I mean, I don't actually hope I have to fight over, because the problem is you get attacked and the bag rips open and the money goes everywhere like in the movies, and now I've just lost all that money. There's no way I'm going to be able to pick all that money up again. So even with my supposed fighting prowess, I actually didn't want a conflict because I can't fight wind. Years and years of martial arts training, you still can't beat the wind. You know, that might be the episode title. So I have so many questions, and I don't want to blame the victim, but it seems real suspicious. Why do you have 25 million yen with you in cash? Why are you in this karaoke bar? How did those teens know you had the money and that you were in this specific karaoke bar? I don't think we're going to get any of those questions, but I see a lot of suspicious things going on there. And I'm going to keep looking out. Like all these stories I talk about, I do keep track of them. That's how I know the charges for the pigeon murderer were dropped, because I do keep track of these stories. And it is very hard to find results. The problem is when they drop charges and stuff, as we're going to find out in one of the later stories, it's not satisfactory because the prosecution never tells you why they dropped the charges. I can start making suppositions, usually because it's not an airtight case. Or I think in the ones coming up that the actual thing is they just paid them off. Oh, exactly the next story. Charges against Rengoku Koroaki. It's not that I can't pronounce the Japanese. The problem is my handwriting is so poor and I write so fast when I make my notes. The English I can read fine. Like, you'll notice I don't stumble over the English, but when I hit Japanese words, I have to, like, slow down, take my time, and write my Japanese words better. Rengoku Koroaki is a guy we talked about before. He is a citizen's arrest YouTuber. This new year has been a flood of citizen's arrest YouTuber stories, and they're all turning out to be pieces of shit. So this guy basically would arrest people, and it turned out the last two or three people he citizens arrested hadn't committed the crime he was accusing them of. He had a girl he had accused of scalping, and she wasn't scalping. Him and like three of his friends surrounded some like 50-year-old man and kind of beat him up a little bit, and they had the wrong guy. He had charges against him for detaining another man. So initially, it was illegal confinement, which is one step away from kidnapping. So that's pretty serious. They dropped it to assault, and then they dropped the case altogether. So I'm wondering, because this is the whole point of the citizen's arrest YouTuber, is they film the citizen's arrest. And most of the citizen's arrests that we see on these, they like tackle the guy. It's usually a guy. They tackle the guy. They wrestle him to the ground. The one we saw, I think, last week was a guy. And I was like, that guy clearly does some kind of judo or BJJ or something, because he wrestled the guy to the ground and held on to him. And that, if the guy is innocent, is just straight up assault. But the prosecutors initially were going for illegal confinement, which is basically kidnapping. He's also not, he also had charges of defamation that are also being dropped. And prosecution refused to discuss the reasons. And my feeling is that he just settled the case. So he just paid off the victims a certain amount of money, settled the case, and then prosecution drops it. So they're not going to say that. My concern is that the citizens arrest YouTubers. So you have the food terrorism guys on YouTube. They're committing the food terrorism. They're getting in trouble. This is still, other people are copycatting it. Copycatting? There are copycat YouTubers doing the same thing, not either thinking they're not going to get in trouble or they're not going to get in that much trouble. So the sushi restaurant suing the first guy for like ¥1 billion was sending a message like, we will come after you. We will make this your life miserable. You do not do this in our restaurants. My feeling is the citizens arrest YouTubers as a trend, because I didn't know there was this many. This was a whole corner of YouTube I had never experienced. That the fact that the charges have been dropped, even though there's video evidence of them committing the crime, may embolden other YouTubers, citizens arrest YouTubers, to go like further than they already are, and other people to maybe try their hand at citizens arrest YouTubing. Citizens arresting, I think it's because there's like this weird, like, oh, we're catching criminals, we're making the world a better place. There's a certain nobility towards it. And that gives you a feeling of, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're being a good person. You're being hardcore. I don't know what, like, you get, there's a secondary feeling there of like, not only am I getting internet fame, I'm also like doing it on a noble platform. Turns out, again, most of these guys are shit. There was the guy last week who turned out he was faking an illness to extort his girlfriend. And then we get another one. Our detectives is two guys. And because what was it? It was something domination last week. I forget the name. It's just, these are really cheesy names. Our detectives. And I don't know what the R stands for, but they do the same thing. They try to find people who are doing like voyeurism, taking upskirt photos, videoing when they're not supposed to video. And they have been arrested for extortion as well. So it seems like money is actually the prime motivator. So they catch a voyeur and then they kind of rough him up, but then they say, give us money and we'll let you go. So the art detectives guys were saying like, ah, I hurt my wrist. So in the video, you can actually see this. They go, oh, I hurt my wrist. So we could take you to the police, but you wouldn't want that. So how much will you pay for damages? So you hurt my wrist when you were resisting me assaulting you. How much are you going to pay for that? If the guy refuses to pay, then they take him to the police. So basically they have two sources of income. They're going to catch the guy. If the guy pays, I'm assuming they're going to like ask some exorbitant amount of money, millions of yen. If the guy pays, okay, now they've made their money. They don't post the video. because I bet they make less money on YouTube. They might not be that famous. I didn't actually check their numbers, which I mean, I probably will after this, because you can calculate from the subscribers and how many views, how much money they probably have made. But I bet they actually make more money from extortion than they would from YouTube. But then they take me to the police, and if they don't get any money from the extortion, they at least get a little bit of money from YouTube. So they took, they citizens arrested some guy. They grabbed him. They tried to extort him. He refused. They go to the police box. Some previous victims, because these guys still might actually be criminals. They're not really victims 100%. I don't know. That's the problem, is I don't know. Let's call them victims. Some previous victims had reported that these guys tried to extort them. So the police had a warrant for the arrest. So these two guys show up with someone they've just citizens arrested. They turn them into the police. And then the police are like, hey, we have to make a report. What's your name? They go, we are our detectives. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I have your name right here. You're both under arrest. So they basically walked themselves into turning in a guy and then turned themselves in inadvertently. Because of the spate of citizens arrest YouTubers lately, I've become very interested in this genre of citizen journalism. This is like the sovereign citizen stuff in America. I get very interested in, like, where did this come from? How did this come from? So this trend, because there have been so many news stories over the last, like, 3-4 weeks, because of it, I'm very interested in, like, where these cases ended up, and does that encourage people or discourage people going forward? So we're going to see, hopefully, again, I want to see these charges, do these charges get dropped? Because if they've made enough money out of the extortion, they might be able to pay these guys off, the victims. And then the prosecution drops the charges, because they actually spend a lot of time trying to not go to trial in Japan. They try to get these things resolved out of court, which is, I think in this case, maybe even problematic, because, again, they might actually inadvertently be encouraging more people to do more assaults on more innocent people in the name of citizens arrest YouTubing. Okay, I guess the theme today is getting yourself arrested by videoing yourself. I don't know, something like that. The manager of an aquarium was breeding genetically modified fish that glow under infrared light. These are called betta, B-E-T-T-A, betta fish. Not, I guess I've heard beta fish, but I think they're, either they're not alpha fish, because, you know, they, like, they're kind of cucks, or they're the ones you feed to other fish. I'm not sure. These are B-E-T-T-A, betta fish. These come from Thailand, and they are in violation of the Kartajima Act, which I, of course, had never heard of until I started reading this story. Basically, you don't want to bring certain animals, like invasive species, you don't want to bring certain animals into your country. It's not allowed. This is a problem for control. So how did these guys get caught? So right now, they're just breeding these fish privately. Maybe they're selling them. It's actually, if you know you're selling to people who want these fish, you're probably not going to get turned in. So you're actually in pretty good shape as long as you keep it on the down low. On the down low is the problem. And the down low is not what happens, because they're like, we are so proud of our genetically modified glowing fish. Let's enter them into a fish competition. Now, I, again, as I said, do not know about the Kartajima Act. So if you had fish in front of me, I would look at the fish and go, ooh, pretty fish. Ooh, those fish glow in the dark. Oh, this is neat. I don't know anything about fish, so I wouldn't know to report you. If you go to a fish competition, I'm going to go ahead and guess that the people, the judges, the organizers, also know about fish, and they would know if your fish are or are not allowed in the country. So one of the organizers was like, hey, freaky looking fish, maybe these fish aren't supposed to be here. So the fish organizers contacted the Ministry of the Environment, reported them, and it was at least 2 people got arrested. It looks like 4 people are involved and could get in trouble. So don't film your crimes and put them on the internet. It would be step number 1. Don't enter your crimes into a competition, please, would be step number 2. I don't know how much more advice I can actually give to criminals, because I thought this would have been self-evident. Oh, and also don't turn yourself in if you got an arrest warrant. Maybe just don't go around assaulting people. Maybe report, if you see like a pervert, report him to the police. Report him to the station staff. Don't tackle him and then try to extort money from him. That's just not a good idea.